الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله.
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله،
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله.
My dear Islamic brothers and the viewers of Madani Channel, we say marhaba, welcome back to our silsila, The Evils of Society. Today, our topic of discussion is immodesty, or better known as behayai. Inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, we will try to get some in-depth into this evil of society, immodesty. But first and foremost, we will have the tilawat of Quran. And thereafter, we will have the praises of the beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wassalam in the form of naat, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن ولا يبدين زينتهن إلا ما ظهر منها صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم الأمين. Command the Muslim men to keep their gaze low and to protect their private organs. That is much purer for them. Indeed, Allah is aware of their deeds. And command the Muslim women to keep their gaze low and to protect their chastity, and not to reveal their adornment except what is apparent.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah wa sallam alayka ya حبیب اللہ. مجھے در پہ پھر بلانا مدنی مدینے والے، مجھے در پہ پھر بلانا مدنی مدینے والے، میرے خواب میں تمہارا
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. My dear Islamic brethren and the viewers of Madani Channel. As we mentioned in the beginning of our program, today we are discussing a topic which is a worldwide sickness, immodesty, or better known as Behaya. Many people out there in the world that are watching this program at this present moment, they must be wondering, what is immodesty? Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, we are always showing different programs, especially in this silsila, Evils of Society. Every week you are seeing a different evil. Evils are going on. And today we are discussing immodesty, so the thought must be coming to the mind that what is immodesty? Inshallah, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we are going to go to our Mufti Sahab. Is going to tell the viewers of Madani Channel out there, what is immodesty?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'ad fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Immodesty is a very big problem, not only Muslim community, but human beings in general are facing. And there are many who would justify immodesty with different names, with the name of freedom, with the name of culture, customs, or to be fitting in an occasion.
Celebrations,
you know, don't look odd. So whatever is happening, you know, at that place or at that occasion, be part of it. So there are many justifications and softening people's hearts and thoughts towards immodesty. Immodesty is actually what we know as shamelessness. As you said it in Urdu, you know, behayai. Haya or shame is an attribute which every person possesses. This faculty is kept in every individual. That is the reason that if we are not habitual with sins, we feel ashamed of committing sin. You know, something from inside us advises us that don't do it, this is not right. You know, you have gut feeling that this is no good. Even if you have not read about it, but something from inside would tell you that this is not right. So, if you exercise that quality, then it develops till you have good control over yourself. And you would be able to separate between what is right and what is wrong, what is shameless and what is shameful,
what is modest and what is immodest.
But if you don't have an environment, there's nobody to teach you, and nobody talks about it, nobody identifies that problem, your bigger people in the family, younger people in the family, everybody is flowing with that flow, then it would seem as something normal. But Islam is a religion which puts a lot of emphasis upon haya, upon this ability of modesty, that a Muslim must be modest. Muslim must not be immodest. When it comes to sinnings, wrongdoings, you know, acts of shamelessness, indecency, Islam would say, stay away. Therefore, we would find many teachings on this topic in Quran Kareem and in the traditions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to understand that immodesty does not affect our character only. It affects our thoughts, our language, our gestures, our characters, our approach, how we look at things. So if we are modest, then all these dimensions of our life, which I have discussed, would be controlled by certain principles, by certain teachings. And otherwise, it would be disaster. Disaster in the sense that you would not know the difference between modesty and immodesty, and you might bring up your family in that culture, in that environment, where they are becoming immodest people in their talks, in their characters, in their thoughts. So therefore, this is a subject which is hardly spoken, or if it is spoken in media, particularly in the Western media. So in other words, this poison is sugar-coated, because there are justifications in the minds of many people which they hear from TV channels and read in articles and in newspapers and in magazines. So they feel they're fine with it.
So Mufti Sahib, you're saying immodesty, from what I get some conclusion from that brief introduction you gave to the views of Manisha about immodesty. Immodesty is not dealing with only a specific part of the body. Immodesty of the eyes, of the ears, of the voice, of the thoughts, of your feelings, etc. This is what you're saying to the views of Manisha. Immodesty can be dealing with any part of the body?
Yes, that's correct. If your thoughts are not pious, then you might be thinking many indecent activities. And must remember that your thoughts might not be caught by a person who's sitting next to you, or by your parents, or by your brothers or sisters, or people who live in the same house where you live. But don't forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows your thoughts. If your thoughts are not holy, if your thoughts are not pious, if your thoughts are immodest, then you will be questioned for that as well. So, and actually, thoughts are the foundation of actions. You start thinking about something and you start finding pleasure in those thoughts. And that motivates you and leads you to commit the act. So there is a need to control at the root level. And the root level is that we must control our thoughts. When a bad thought comes into our mind, you know, indecent thoughts come into our mind, we must remind ourselves, Allah is watching me, He knows my thoughts. And that's what we do in the environment of Dawat Islami. We remind each other, Allah is watching us. He knows what is in our hearts. He knows what is in our minds. And that way, you will have some control. Otherwise, the so-called freedom, you know, everybody is free to do whatever they want to do, or think whatever they want to think, or say whatever they want to say. That is, you know, leading us, not really leading us, driving us very fast towards the hellfire.
So my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, now we got an idea, a brief idea, what immodesty is all about. What is bihayai? So we know that your action can lead you towards bihayai, towards immodesty. Your hands, your ears, your nose, your talk, your walk, even the thought of your mind. Our Rabb Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is all knowing, all hearing, all seeing. Allah Zawajal knows our thoughts. So even your thoughts, as the saying goes, that what the eyes desire, the heart desires. And what the heart desires, also the body desires. So if the eye looked at something desirable, undesirable, and attracted you towards haram, the heart starts to feel something emotional. The body starts to flow. Something extra thing is happening in your body. Something is boiling within yourself. And when the eyes desire, the heart desires. When the heart desires, the body desires. And when the body desires, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, maybe that undesirable act, that immodest act, that immodest thought, or immodest look will lead us towards destruction, towards sin, towards guna. Shahid bhai, what have we got to say to the viewers of Madinah Channel about immodesty?
As the years have gone by, we find that people are becoming more and more immodest. Whether it is in speech, whether it is in dressing, and even the thoughts of people, as Mufti Sahib has mentioned, previously we may not have seen the thoughts, but now you can see in the way people dress, you can see in the way people speak, that this world is going more and more towards immodesty. In times gone by, Muslims and non-Muslims alike dressed much better. Muslims and non-Muslims alike spoke much more decently. But today, the talk is so casual. In days gone by, men would not just approach women and speak to them anyhow. But today we find that happening. It's very rife in our society. We look that both men and women, from adorning themselves fully, covering themselves fully, we find that the clothing is getting less and less and less as time is going by.
Even the covering the whole body, but clothing is getting less.
The clothing is getting less. People are wearing clothes, but they're half naked.
They're basically wearing clothes, but they're not wearing clothes.
They're not wearing clothes. Even when they do wear clothes. And we find that either it is so tight-fitting, men and women alike, that you can see the shape of the body. Or it is see-through that you can see the color of the skin. Or in some conditions, that so little of the body is covered that a person of decency will not want to look at that person. And we are Muslims. And being Muslims, our lives are regulated by the laws of Sharia. Certain things we can do and certain things we cannot do. Certain things are permissible for us, and other things are impermissible for us. And as Mufti Sahib recited in the Ayah Karima, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Muslim men firstly to lower their gaze and to protect their private parts. So first the order is for the men. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the women to do the same, to lower the gaze and to protect their chastity.
So simply, in other words, you know, strange men and strange women, they must not have eye contact.
Ji. In fact, there is a hadith of Mubarakah Mufti Sahib, the summary of which is that if a strange man and a strange woman are alone with each other, then the third person is shaitan.
And shaitan will motivate them and they will end up, na'uzubillah, doing that what was not supposed to be done.
Which should not be done. In fact,
see, I want to bring you back on this discussion. You know, keep your gaze low. That order is given to men and that order is given to women. Of course, this order is not when they are with their close relatives. Those men or women who are not strange to you, not, you know, غير محرم. So, in other words, we understand from Quran al-Kareem very clearly that eye contact of men and women, strange men and women, is not allowed. That's being prohibited in the very same ayat of Surah An-Nur, ayat number 30 and 31. So those who say, you know, mixed gatherings are allowed. You can get together, have intermingling of sexes, that's fine. Or you, as a speaker or orator, you are allowed to sit on the stage and your audience can be men and women, you still have eye contact. So how can that be justified? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders in these ayat, you know, keep your gaze low.
And it's so very specific, Mufti Sahib, even in that ayat, if Mufti Sahib can read it, there's very specific people that are excluded. Husbands, for example, brothers, for example, fathers, etc., that are excluded from the strange men and women. And we find that, you know, these days, you know, Muslims are setting their own standards. That cousins, you know, on days of Eidain and, you know, weddings, etc., you find that male and female cousins hugging and kissing each other. You know, you find male and female cousins, you know, shaking hands with each other. You find that, you know, your uncle's wives, you know, feel insulted if, you know, the nephews or nieces, for example, in the case of the...
Don't come and hug them.
Yes, if they don't come and hug them and show them love, it's as though they are insulting them, you know. So people have set their own standards, but the Sharia has got a standard for us, and being Muslim, we have to follow the standard of set by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
See, the order is given here in this ayat, ayat number 31. This order is for the women, and not to reveal their adornment except to their own husbands, or fathers, or husbands' fathers, that's father-in-law, or their sons, or their husband's sons from the previous wife, or their brothers, or their brother's sons, that's nephews, you know, or sister's sons, also nephews, or women of their religion, or born women they possess, or male servants, provided they do not have manliness. I mean, they're small boys maybe, you know, or such children who do not know of women's nakedness, the small babies, and not to stamp their feet on the ground in order that their hidden adornment be known. You know, like wearing some jewelries and then walk in such a way, or bangles, or making noise.
Or higher shoes.
Yes. And O Muslims, all of you turn in repentance together towards Allah Azza wa Jal, in the hope of attaining success. It is incumbent upon women to cover themselves properly.
Mukhtisa, we are talking about lowering the gazes. So basically we're saying if the eyes desire, the body will desire. Today, in today's time and era, now we're calling it, enjoyment. People are looking towards enjoyment. People are looking towards excitement. People are moving to those places where impossibility of guarding the eyes is. For example, if you go to the beachfront and people say, okay, it's a day of family. We're just going to unite and we all are going to take up some food and we're going to have some parcels and we're going to enjoy, or we're going to have some broast or braai, etc., with the wife, with the children. We go to the beachfront. And now we decide, no, we got haya. We're not going to do anything wrong. We're just going to sit there and we're going to enjoy ourselves and we're going to have a meal. But what's going around that people, that community? People going towards the beaches. They're wearing short pants, etc. Ladies are almost in the form of nakedness. And people think that even if we go there, we can have haya. Is this possible, Muftisa?
Well, how would that be possible, you know, if you are in the middle of naked people and you want haya, you know, there, it's like you dip yourself in a filthy gutter and hope that you're going to come out clean. You jump into the fire and hope that you're not going to be burnt. How is this possible? Discussing about, you know, safeguarding your eyes or not letting your eyes see what is not permitted, it is very fundamental principle of our religion and mentioned in Quran and Kareem. But unfortunately, we open up everything for the eyes. You know, even elders in the family would say, you know, don't go out, don't run around, don't do this, don't take stress, you know, have some popcorn and go and watch movie, you know. So that's like coming, it's okay. Now watch movie, eyes are going to see a lot of scenes. You know, there are violence in that, there are love stories in that, and there are so many wrong activities, shameless activities taking place in that. Songs are there, dance is there, and that's being accepted. That's okay, you know. It's like as long as you here, you in front of our eyes, that's okay, you can do that. So there is really no control on the eyes. There's no plan to control the eyes.
I think this would be it'll be any public place, whether it's a beachfront or whether it's a pool or whether it's a riverside. People have to be very cautious about these type of places, because these are the type of places people go to get themselves naked, actually. They want to start jumping into the water, take on most of the clothes, etc. And then you get our so-called Muslim families, now they are heading towards these type of places.
Shahid was talking about, you know, clothes, immodesty in dress, in wearing. We are seeing that this disease or this sickness is growing amongst the Muslim families as well. Particularly, those Muslim families live in Western societies, so-called free societies, where they feel, you know, nobody is there to judge us. And this dialogue is very famous amongst those people who want to break all the boundaries. You know, you're not the judge. Allah is the judge.
And it doesn't matter what is on the outside, it is what is on the inside.
What is on the inside. And that's a very powerful dialogue to shut the person up. You know, you're not the judge. Allah is judge. Who are you to tell me? You know, only Allah judges. No man is judge. So these type of words, they'll come up. So they'll make you scared. So as a Muslim, you know, a part of a society, you must not be able to put any pressure. So, you know, this way they get away. And unfortunately, men and women, as you said, their way of dressing, you know, their fashion that they adopt, is pathetic. You can't really say that this person is Muslim, the way they dress.
And Mustab, you know, Muslims these days seem not to be proud of their religion and the haya that Islam has given us. Nigraneshwara mentioned in one of his bayans recently in the UK that there was a Muslim lady who was serving at the shop. She was working at the shop and she was serving customers, and there was another Muslim lady who had a Madani burqa. And you know, this Muslim lady, after she served another male customer, gave the change, she didn't have a scarf on her head, or she didn't you know, she wasn't properly covered according to the Islamic dress code. And when this Muslim lady who was covered, Islamic sister that was covered with Madani burqa, when she came to be served, this lady told her that, you know, you shouldn't be dressing like this. You know, it gives a bad name for Muslims in this country, you know. And this Islamic sister in the burqa, in the Madani burqa, she lifted her veil up to reveal her face. And actually she was a French woman that reverted to Islam because of the beauty of the haya that Islam gives to Muslims. And says that, I have adopted your religion for this reason, and you are sitting here trying to adopt the Westerner's religion.
See, unfortunately, many of these Muslims born in Muslim families have not studied Islam and, you know, have not tried to understand and appreciate the beauty of Islam. They feel apologetic for being Muslim, apologetic for wearing, you know, Islamic dress of haya. Their identity by chance has become that they are Muslims.
Because they're born in Muslim families.
They're born in a Muslim family. Yeah. And they've got this sickness. They actually need to be treated. And the treatment is that they must avail themselves an opportunity to be in an Islamic environment for a few days and try to understand their beautiful religion, discuss with scholars who can remove their misunderstandings and their fears, and come in the environment of Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami would provide those opportunities where you would appreciate the beauty of our religion and be proud of being Muslim. If you are a man, you would feel proud of having beard and wearing, you know, Islamic dress, and introduce yourself as a proud Muslim. And if you are a woman, you would feel proud to be a Muslim woman, have your scarf, cover yourself, and have modesty in your discussions, in your talks. So it's all about when you keep yourself away. In a house where parents don't have much tendency towards, you know, religion, towards Islamic teachings, and children growing up in that environment, end of the day, they just become, you know, Muslims by name. So there's a need, and alhamdulillah, that's the reason that Dawat Islami is moving towards all over the world, in every country almost, to provide this opportunity. So whether you live in east or west, north or south, Arabic speaking country or English speaking country or Urdu speaking country or Russia or Germany or wherever, you must not be deprived from that basic opportunity of having an Islamic environment around you, within you. And thereafter, if you choose, then it's your problem. But at least you must have this chance to enjoy the beauty of Islam and understand and appreciate.
In the environment of Dawat-e-Islami, Muftan, we have a system called Qufl-e-Madina. Qufl-e-Madina of the eyes.
Yes.
Where one trains one's eyes or oneself to lower the gaze. And as Aslam Bhai has mentioned earlier, that what the eyes see, the heart desires. And what the heart desires, concealed organs also desire. So if you train your eyes, or if you train yourself to lower your gaze, then your eyes will not fall on that which is forbidden. And your heart will not desire that which is forbidden. So in this environment of Dawat Islami, and you know, to create that consciousness to lower one's gaze. You know, Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat has written a booklet called Cures for Sin. It's actually a bayan that was probably delivered that has been published. Maktabatul Madina has published it. And in there, there's a very beautiful story about a man that got hold of a woman and took out his knife in the streets of Baghdad Sharif. And people were watching from a distance, but nobody wanted to intervene. And a pious man passed by and whispered something into his ears. This man started trembling with fear. And the knife fell off his hand, and he fell unconscious. And that lady was freed eventually. Okay? So after he gained consciousness, he asked, you know, the people around, who was that pious person who whispered something into my ears? And they said he was the great saint of the time, Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. So the people asked him, you know, what did he tell you in your ears? And he said that he told me that Allah is watching this act of yours.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
That made him tremble with fear and made him fall unconscious. If we can realize before every act of shamelessness and any other guna that we intend to commit, if we can just realize that Allah is watching us, before taking the razor to shave the beard, if we just realize that Allah is watching this act of ours, before switching the TV on to watch movies and dramas, if we just bring that consciousness that Allah is watching this act of mine, before looking at something forbidden, think to yourself that Allah is watching you. Then you will get that jazbah to start training your eyes, you know, training yourself to lower your gaze. And the kufle madina of the eyes, the training will start inshallah. If you realize that Allah is watching me at all times, and we know it. Who doesn't know that Allah is watching us at all times? We all know that Allah is all seeing and all hearing. We believe and we say with certainty that Allah hears everything and sees everything. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to bring that knowledge to the conscious mind. And we need to, before committing the sin, realize that Allah is watching us.
My dear Islam brother viewers of Madani Channel, in the past 5 to 7 minutes, you must have seen, especially Islamic sisters, you must have been seeing and hearing that our Mubaligin are talking about your dress code, about hijab, about niqab, etc., about how to get haya, etc. They're not targeting you. Actually, they're praising you. Because remember, all our Islamic sisters out there that are in hijab, subhanallah azza wa jal, your body parts are covered according to what Allah and His beloved Rasul alayhi sallam has ordered us. You are actually a gem, a gold. You are a priceless diamond. And subhanallah azza wa jal, you know out there that when you have your priceless diamond, especially our Islamic sisters, if you have a golden ring, you always keep them in a cupboard, make sure that they are covered up properly, make sure they're wrapped up properly, locked up in lock and key in a certain place where nobody can see them, nobody can even notice them. Even if a criminal comes into the house, it must be the most difficult thing for him to find. So subhanallah azza wa jal, likewise, our women in Islam are priceless diamonds. And this is why our Allah and His beloved Rasul alayhi sallam has ordered for a woman to keep their body parts covered, to have the hijab. Subhanallah. So dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madin Channel, Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, as you can see that we are moving forward on this topic, the evils of immodesty. No doubt, modesty plays a constructive role in character building, in the formation of a sound and healthy society. It also removes all types of unholy acts. And there is much emphasis laid in our deen, the deen of Islam, about modesty. The Holy Prophet ﷺ says that every religion has a distinctive quality. And subhanallah azza wa jal, the distinctive quality of Islam is modesty. He also said that modesty, beloved Rasul ﷺ also said that modesty and iman exist together.
See, there's a hadith of Mubarak. Al-haya'u shu'batun min al-iman.
Subhanallah.
Haya, modesty, is a department of iman. In other words, it is part of iman. So if one does not have modesty and he is a Muslim, he is a believer, he must know that a very important part of his iman is missing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was there. You know, initially when person receives iman, when iman comes in, it comes complete. It does not come incomplete. So when you are blessed with iman, you are blessed with haya as well. So haya will go away because of our own doings, because of our own acts. And when haya is gone, you must know that something very important is missing. Your iman is incomplete. You need to work towards it to get that part back. That there's a hole, there's a gap. You know, it's a puzzle. One part is missing.
It cannot be.
It's not completing the picture.
And Mustafa, if you look at history, wherever Muslims, whichever country Muslims went, there were two things that went. For Islamic sisters, there was the veil. And Islamic brothers, there was the beard. And this became common in countries wherever Muslims were in the majority, or wherever, whichever countries you find, you know, Muslim culture, you find that women were veiled correctly, and men also had this beautiful sunnah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. So my dear Islamers and viewers of Madani Channel, from this short discussion about immodesty, we learned that both the male and the female are responsible for this evil of society. So the blind person, he's safe from many types of evils, especially the evils of the eye. So, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have to make shukr to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the eye. If we use the eye for the right purpose, that means for the purpose of Allah Azza wa Jal, His beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, to look towards Kaabatullah Sharif, to look towards Madinatul Munawwara, to look at the beautiful green dome of Madinah Sharif, to look at the Jali Mubarak of the beloved Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, to make the tilawat of Quran, to look at all the beautiful things, what is permissible in Islam, inshaAllah, it will keep us towards haya, it will keep us away from immodesty, and it will keep us modest, inshaAllah, tabarakhu ta'ala. This will be safeguarding us in this dunya, inshaAllah, tabarakhu ta'ala, in the Qabr, inshaAllah, tabarakhu ta'ala, and most certainly on the day of Qiyamah. It is a humble request to the viewers of Madani Channel. Keep watching Madani Channel, inshallah, and keep in this beautiful Madani Mahal of Dawat Islami. Being in a good environment will give us a good result, inshallah. And Dawat Islami always encourages our Islamic brothers and Islamic sisters out there to always keep in a good environment. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Allah karam, aisa kare. Tujh pe jahan mein, ay Dawat Islami, teri doom maji ho. Ameen, bijahin abil ameen. صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم